What a joy again to be gathered tonight to sing those songs of grand and glorious and wondrous truth about the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And now we are going to spend a brief time just talking about the good news of great joy that we had already read from the passage today in Luke chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, if not, that's entirely okay. But if you do have your Bibles, there are two verses from that Luke 2 passage that I want you to draw your attention to and that we will focus on. Two profound and amazing verses that I believe never get dry, never get stale, never get boring, no matter how many times you hear it. And we need to be reminded of the truth that is embedded in those two verses. The message for tonight is called Good News of Great Joy. Good News of Great Joy. And of course, I get that title directly from Luke 2, verses 10 and 11. And let me read those for us once again, just those two verses as we head into this message. Starting in verse 10, it said, "But the angel said to them, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and he said, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" This Christmas, and really every single day of the year, I think it's safe to say that many people lack joy. True joy, lasting and enduring joy, meaningful joy. Joy that no matter what circumstances you might find yourself in, even if you're at the bottom of the barrel in the course of life, this kind of joy can never be taken away from you. The most meaningful joy contained, as we just read on the pages of Scripture. We live in a world, for the most part, that is starving for true, enduring, profound joy. Not just a fleeting happiness that comes as a result of your circumstances or something that happened to you, but a joy that is eternal and internal and lasting. I think this past year alone, 2024, has been a cause for many to be, has caused much stress and heartache, hopelessness, and worry about the future with this bleak state of the world in which we live, and we see wars and corruption in government and economic volatility. And joy, at least from my experience and engaging with people, has depleted from many people's hearts because, well, there's a scarcity of good news to be found in the world. But even beyond the outside world, you might even look at your own life and see your own failure, your own anxiety, sin upon sin, fear of the unknown, fear of death, fear of tomorrow. Perhaps you wonder, what is the purpose and meaning to my life? We often cling to things that are short-lived and transient to give us this temporary and fleeting happiness, to soon find out that those things, whatever they might be in your life, have little lasting joy. And above all, our own sin, our own rebellion, our own disobedience toward God is a joy destroyer, because sin never brings lasting joy. It doesn't bring lasting joy. Now today, if you do need good news, and we are all in need of good news, you came to the right place to hear the message of good news of great joy. And that good news of great joy is found in no one else and nothing else but, of course, in Jesus Christ. And it's a joy that is eternal and of which nothing and no one can snatch away from you. No matter what happens in your life, not even death itself can snatch the joy of Christ from you. When Jesus Christ was born, as we read, in Bethlehem, which interestingly enough means house of bread, and he is, as the Gospel of John says, the bread of heaven which came down to us, and we are to feast upon that bread. When he was born there, the purpose for which he came was gloriously announced in these verses that we just read by one of the first evangelists of the New Testament. It was an angel, a messenger of heaven, who came down to proclaim, to preach, to herald this good news to shepherds who were keeping their flock by night in the region of Bethlehem, the place that God said he would send his son. Going back hundreds of years in Micah chapter 5 in the Old Testament, God said that in this lowly place that the son was going to come. And the angel came to proclaim that this long-awaited Messiah was to be born in that city of David. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, was born in a humble and common and a lowly manger to a young virgin by the name of Mary, which also, by the way, as we know, was prophesied 700 years before Jesus came into the world in Isaiah chapter 7. Profound. The Messiah, the second person of the Trinity, God himself, came into the world in a miraculous way, in such a way that only God can do. As Isaiah chapter 9 says, to us a child is born, a son will be given to us. And so it happened that God kept his promise and many promises from long ago, and surely enough sent his beloved son, Jesus Christ, into this dark and dying and sinful and evil and corrupt world. The light of the world, the one who dispels all darkness, the one in whom there is no sin, came in the form of a human baby into a world of evil so that he might, and he came for a purpose, to seek and save that which is lost, to die for sinners. And to announce this amazing news, in verse 9, just before our passage, the glory of the Lord shone around the shepherds in such a dazzling display in the open field. I mean, can you imagine? Sometimes we read past that and we go, oh, whatever. Can you imagine going home tonight and experiencing this dazzling, glorious display of God's glory shining around you? I mean, these were men who arduously labored day and night as shepherds, not far from Jerusalem, where many of their sheep would have been taken to the temple in Jerusalem to be slaughtered for the sacrifice. And when the angel suddenly appeared to them, it says that they were terribly frightened. Of course, who wouldn't be? They were frightened at God's magnificent exhibition of his brilliant, intense, bright shining, you could say Shekinah glory. The presence of God's glory can only be a terrifying and alarming thing, of course, if you are not covered by the blood of Christ. But it is a terrifying and a fearful thing to be in the presence of God. It must have been daunting for them to not only have an angel of heaven, mind you, which came also to Mary, and she was full of fear and appeared to others as well. And this angel of heaven appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. It's like they were engulfed with the glory of God. But the angel here dispels their fear by doing what? Heralding the good news of great joy. That's what it takes to dispel all fear. The ultimate fear, the fear of God's judgment, the fear of God's wrath, their fear was dispelled because of this good news of great joy, which was what? Given for the people. This is for the people, first to Israel, from whom the Messiah would come, to whom the promises were given by God in long ages past from God, but it also came to the entire world, every tribe, every nation, every language, every tongue is capable of hearing this good news of great joy. See, the solution to the world's greatest problem is not more legislation, is not being nicer, is not education, It's Jesus Christ. He is the solution to the world's greatest problem, which is this. All of the problems in the world come from this. The fact that human beings are separated from God due to their own inherent sin and depravity and rebellion against this great God that shone his glory around the shepherds. What people need the most is this greatest joy possible, which is a relationship with God, their creator, which has been severed due to sin. Unbeknownst to the shepherds, the Savior of the world was born not far from their fields filled with sheep and lambs that were going to be sacrifices themselves. But what they didn't know at that point was that there was another lamb, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who himself, as the Lamb of God, was going to be sent to the slaughter as the sacrifice, the atoning sacrifice for every single sinner who repents and puts their trust in him. Just imagine, God chose simple and insignificant shepherds, lowly, dirty shepherds, poor shepherds, to announce the greatest news the earth had ever heard. The fact that the great divine shepherd has come, who also was a lamb slain for sin. And thus that promise of good news, which is what evangel means, evangelism, that has finally arrived. That Savior has finally come. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. And it's this good news of the coming Savior that people need more than anything else. More than anything else. More than economic prosperity. More than political victories. More than good health and a long-lasting life. More than a salary raise. Or anything you might think that you need. Jesus Christ is what every single human being needs. It's what you need if you are sitting here this evening. And this news that was proclaimed to the shepherd is not just any news that comes and goes. First of all, it's not bad news. It's good news of great joy. It's certainly not fake news. It's certainly not fabricated news. It's good news. See, as you all know, our world is inundated with bad news and unreliable news. We hear it every single day if you turn on the TV or go on the internet. When we hear that news, it crushes our spirits. Every day when newscasters come on to TV, they announce the news and it's usually occupied with death and violence and the crimes of nefarious men. It's peppered with deadly weather and pestilences and wars and rumors of wars and corruption and everything that is the result of this fallen world, this fallen, corrupt world of sin. But that is not the case with this announcement from the angel. These shepherds had the most excellent news given to them and given to mankind. And listen, it was news that they could trust because it came directly from the God of truth. And the angel didn't just say it's good news, but like I have repeated, it's good news of great joy. The word here for great in verse 10 is an exceedingly super joy. Mega joy. It's an indescribable joy. A joy so large, so generous, that our hearts can hardly contain it. How many of your hearts tonight are just oozing with the joy of the Lord? I pray so. This is a great joy. And the question is, what, or rather, who is the good news of great joy for? Who is this for? I love this when it says this in this passage. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for who? For you, a Savior. It's for you. You see, the angel here is speaking, like I said, to humble, ordinary, poor, and despised men, shepherds of the field. This greatest news, this best news, this most thrilling news of hope, joy, is not announced to the high and mighty, the noble, the elite, the rich. Even though if the rich, mighty, and noble do repent, they too can receive salvation in Jesus Christ. But it's declared to those that the world would have considered foolish, despicable, and unimportant. Basically, you and me. We're the foolish ones. We're not the wise ones of the world. We're not the smart ones of the world. We're not the rich ones of the world. God comes to the humble and contrite in heart, those who recognize their absolute dire need for a Savior because they see that they themselves are sinners and have walked away from God and have completely rejected Him, and they see their sin for what it is. God has opened their eyes to the ugliness of their sin and has revealed it. And these shepherds are very much like us. They're those who humbly admit their urgent need for God, not that someday I will come to Him, someday I will take this seriously. No, they humbly admit their urgent need and recognize their lost condition, and not only that, but their eternal damnation if they do not run to God for grace, for forgiveness of their sins, and to have peace with Him. Because if you don't have the peace of God, you're at enmity with Him. The wrath of God, the Bible says, still abides on you. The good news of great joy that this angel announced, it's for those who, like I said, humbly confess, humbly acknowledge, humbly agree with God in what God says about you, that you are a sinner in need of Him. It's for those who repent of their sin, turn away from their sin, recognize who they truly are, that they're guilty sinners, and that they have a desperate need for a Savior. It's for anyone who has received this good news, anyone who receives this, who can attest to this. If you have received this good news, you know the deep joy that it produces in your heart. It was revealed tonight as you were singing these songs. Some of you could be going through some very trying times right now. You could be engulfed in a world of temptations. You could be suffering from sickness or from some health issue. You could be on the precipice of going to glory, and yet you have this joy because that joy has been instilled within your heart by Jesus Christ, because He saved you and brought you to God. This joy goes beyond just an emotion. It's not a philosophy. It's not a man-made religion or a fleeting desire or an item of materialism that cannot produce everlasting, meaningful contentment. This joy is not like the gift that you're going to get tomorrow morning that might give you some joy, but within a week, you might not care so much about that gift anymore, and you might even return it at the store. But when you receive the joy of Jesus Christ, it's non-refundable. You are His forever, and there is nothing, high and low, death, suffering, persecution, can snatch the love and joy of Christ away from you. And verse 11 here reveals the subject of this good news of great joy, the subject of the noun of this great news. And it has to be, and it must be, and it is Jesus Christ. He is the only and sole reason for the joy that we have. Any joy that you are experiencing is a gift from God, but the ultimate joy is the gospel, the good news, your salvation, your redemption in Christ Jesus. And the reason why Jesus is spoken of as the good news of great joy is just for a few reasons. The first reason was that God came to us, Emmanuel, God with us. He didn't stay in heaven, but He came down in such a profound, mysterious, and miraculous way that it just blows our mind. He was born here on the earth. He came to us as truly God and truly man, for that's who He is, to bridge the chasm that has separated sinful man from holy and pure God. Jesus was born so that you and I might be born again, so that we can have new life in Christ, new desires, so that we can be made alive to God, no longer dead in our transgressions and sins, but made alive to God so that we may know him, follow him, obey him, worship him, and be with him for all eternity. Jesus came to show us God. Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. He is God in flesh. When you look at him, when you read about him in the scriptures, you see God. He proclaimed the truth. Every word that came from his mouth is truth because, as he says in John 14, he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way to God. No matter what the world might tell you that there are many roads to heaven, Jesus says otherwise. No, there is only one way to God, and that is it, and that is through him. No one comes to the Father but through Jesus Christ. And if you are here today and you desire to receive forgiveness for your sins, if you desire for there to be no more condemnation in your life or wrath of God due to the judgment that is rightly imposed upon sin, then come to Jesus Christ and find that forgiveness because he is also the life. And if you want eternal life, life everlasting, life that continues without end, but life that has meaning in God, then come to Jesus Christ. Come to God through Jesus Christ. For he is, as he said in John 11, the resurrection and the life. And anyone who would come to him will not only find free forgiveness of sin, but the hope and assurance of life eternal and the fear of death and the judgment of God completely eradicated once and for all, and the joy of being with God forever and ever. Is that not great news of a good news of great joy? And all of this is free. Every other religion, every other philosophy will tell you that you must do X, Y, and Z. You must attain enough good merit, good works in order to get to heaven and be right with God. But what you have to do here is recognize your sin and cast yourself entirely on Jesus Christ. Trust in him because there is not one work good enough that you can do to satisfy and to appease the wrath of God and the holiness of God and the law of God because Jesus Christ did it all for you if indeed you truly believe today. He lived a perfect life. He died a perfect death. He was risen to new life and he ascended to heaven where he is currently at the right throne of God in heaven as our mediator, as our intercessor. There is no merit of your own good works, religious or moral, that you can achieve to receive this gift of salvation and eternal life. A couple other reasons here. Jesus is the Savior, as the passage says. One born to you is a Savior, which means he's a deliverer. He's a redeemer. He's not just God who came in flesh, but he came to set us free from something. And that which he set us free from is the shackles of sin. Many people, just the other day, we were driving down the road and a car had in the back of their window a big yellow sign that said, Jesus saves. And praise God, but what does Jesus save us from? Ultimately, he saves us from the wrath to come, from the judgment and punishment eternal of God. He saves us from Satan. He saves us from the guilt and presence and from our sin that condemns us to hell. He saves us not just from those things, but so that you might have a reconciled, ongoing, eternal relationship with God, being at peace with him, which is man's greatest need. Jesus is the Savior who saves us from the dark destiny of a godless, Christless, joyless, suffering eternity in hell, where this is the bad news, where all those who reject the truth of Christ and this glorious gospel of God will end up when they die. Not many people like hearing that, but it's better to hear those bad words first, the bad news, before you hear the good news. There is no good news of great joy unless you hear the bad news of horrible devastation. The Bible says it's appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. This is the bad news. If you are a sinner and you are an enemy of God, if you are not saved, if this gospel hasn't been realized in your life. But for those who receive this good news as a free gift handed to you, offered to you, proclaimed to you by God himself, that judgment was laid upon Jesus Christ, our Savior, in our place. And as Romans 8, verse 1 says, if today you are in Jesus Christ, there is no more condemnation, no more judgment for your sin, no more fear of God's wrath, for our great and glorious Savior took it all for you. The innocent and the righteous one paid the price for the guilty sinner so that the guilty sinner would be rescued from these things and not be separated from God forever. Not only is he just the Savior, not was he only born in Bethlehem, but he is Christ the Lord. He is the anointed one. He is the only Lord that exists. As the Bible says in Revelation, he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the light of the world. He's the door in which and through which anyone can enter to receive salvation. He is the great chief shepherd. He is Lord. He is your maker. He is the creator. He is the one that allows you to breathe this evening and allows you to enjoy Christmas celebrations. And he is the one who is the giver of life. Jesus Christ is God himself in human flesh, very God of very God. This is what we celebrate at Christmas. This is why we have joy, not just on December 25th or whenever Christmas actually is, but it's every single day that this joy is given to you. Do you want that great news of great joy in your life? If you do not have it today, turn to Christ. Run to him right now. Call upon him. Come to him, and he will grant you salvation. Call upon the name of the Lord, and you will be saved. And when you are saved by him, John 15, 11 says, these things, this is Jesus speaking, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. It's not a temporary joy, but an eternal one. And it's in you. And no person, no circumstance, no bad news that you hear tonight on the TV, not even death itself, can ever seize from you, because God will never let you go, and he will joyfully receive you into heaven when you pass from here into glory because of what Christ did on the cross 2,000 years ago. May you and may I, like these humble shepherds in our passage today, run to Christ for salvation. Go to Christ, casting your soul upon him. And as Luke 2:20 says, let us glorify and praise God for all that we have seen and heard and for what God has proclaimed to us. My friends, this is good news of great joy. This is what Christmas is all about. Nothing more, nothing less. The good news of great joy is Jesus Christ, full stop. And it's the best gift anyone can ever receive and have.